Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Wake Up Hollywood.
I had to start with some cock for you.
I hate your cock.
I missed you, Eddie. How
are
you?
I missed you, too. Good. How are you?
Did you miss the show? Tell us the truth.
I missed it. That's all I thought about while I was doing other things that I was enjoying.
I thought you were out of town. You're like, yeah, man, I went all the way to Glendale.
I was in Glendale, which, if you live in Hollywood, it is kind of out of town.
That is true, actually.
It's a little bit of a trek.
Especially during traffic. Did you have to drive there?
Yeah, I did. 134.
Well, comedians never have to get to their set really that early, though, right? Is it kind of like...
No, there's no setup.
That's so awesome.
There's no sound check. God. There's no lighting tech.
Dude, I'm playing a festival this weekend, and first of all, it's 3 hours away, and they want me there 2 hours early. I mean, that's just below average.
Where's that?
It's in Avila Beach. We're playing a big festival called Forever Neverland, and it's with Vertical Horizon and Everclear. It's a bunch of bands from the 90s, and then we're on the electronic day. I have no idea.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that odd?
You're about as far from electronic.
Dude, totally. Well, it was the only day we could do it. Like, half my band couldn't do Saturday, so I was like, hey, put us on
Sunday.
You're going
to piss off all the electronic fans.
I know. You know, it's actually a good challenge, because... I like kind of being in a different genre, just so, okay, can we attract that audience too, you know?
It's like me playing an urban club.
You know what? The first time I had that experience was opening for The Roots. That was one of the shows I was most nervous for. And then after I got through that, I was like, if I can get Roots fans to dig what we're doing when I'm singing a song like Sunrise to a Roots crowd, then I think I can go into a different demographic of people. But yeah, so if anybody's interested, NK Band's playing at 1:45 to 2:45 on Sunday, September 14th at a festival called Forever Neverland in Central California.
Are there tickets on sale anyway?
Tickets are really expensive. It's crazy. It's like,
so you're really putting this over. Expensive tickets.
They're putting us up the day before. I asked for hotel rooms the day before because it's a 3-hour drive. I'm not getting up at 8 o'clock for a gig, or 7 o'clock for a gig.
Oh, God forbid you have to get up at 8 a.m. to kill.
Dude, you do that all the time. Musicians, that's
not by choice.
Man, that's like...
Comedians don't get up early unless we have to, but I have a kid.
Well, you have a kid, so you have to get up early. Yeah. Your kid probably gets up before you do.
Of course, he wakes me up.
Oh, God, that's ridiculous.
You have a kid, so you have an alarm clock.
What about Saturday morning cartoons? He's probably...
Those don't exist anymore.
What? You're joking.
With Netflix and the internet, why would you have to schedule a 3-hour block of cartoons on a Saturday morning?
But, dude, that was the best day to wake up during the week.
Yeah, but times have changed.
So he doesn't wake up. He gets to sleep in on Saturday and watch whatever.
If he calls 7:30 sleeping in.
Well, that's ridiculous. He doesn't sleep past 7:30?
8 o'clock, sometimes 9:30.
And is he like a morning? Is he a morning kid?
Not really. He just gets up because he's just used to getting up.
Man.
It's just what it is.
How's he digging kindergarten?
He loves kindergarten. He cries when we pick him up because he wants to stay, which is weird because I hate it.
That means he hates home life, too.
Yeah. Well, it makes us feel bad because when we're picking him up and these people are crying, what the hell are they taking him to? What's home life like if he hates school?
You think it's because he's playing with a lot of kids, obviously?
Had so much fun. And there's kids and there's structure and there's sports and there's games and projects. And at home, it's just sort of like...
I remember kindergarten being that great when I was young. Like, I had homework when I was in kindergarten.
He's got homework.
Like ABCs? Is he learning ABCs now?
Well, he already knew his ABCs, but it's just more learning how to write and read and write.
So is he doing handwriting classes and stuff?
Well, if you count writing the alphabet, handwriting classes.
Well, that's part of it. I mean, that's how you learn to print. But I remember first grade was that was the real handwriting. That was the real
No, kids
stuff.
Now, kindergarten is pretty advanced now. They're doing math and learning how to read in kindergarten.
What? Really? I just remember nap time, and they would show fruits and vegetables, and no maps, obviously.
No, obviously no maps in the United States, because you have no idea.
Yeah, so I just wouldn't think that they would teach him math.
That's... No math. They got math going on. They got.
So is he telling you reading? What he's learning every day? Like, daddy, daddy,
I know. It's like I was when I was a kid. When your parents like, what's what you do at school day? He's like, nah, nothing. I'm behind. That's pretty much what he does to me. So
yeah,
I deserve it because I did it to my parents. I deserve it.
Yeah. You, no teacher conferences yet? Like
no, not yet.
Eddie, your kid has been shitting all over the class.
They give out these things called like star dollars if you're good, and then they can spend them at the end of the month on things or whatever. And so he always tries to get as many star dollars as he can. He tries to be good. And it's a reward system, like religion. And they're training people for religion. And it's a reward system or whatever. And I guess I went there yesterday to pick him up, and he had gotten like 9 star dollars, which is
wow,
like hitting the lottery of star dollars.
That's awesome.
And the woman who's watching them, like the after school person that watches them for a couple hours, she comes to me. He's like, yeah, he's trying to get more star dollars from me by telling me how beautiful I was.
Oh,
I'm like, you little dog!
He's hitting on him. He's hitting on his teacher already.
He's dropping. He's already dropping comments trying to get money.
Looking little. Doing it all for the Benjamins. Wait, he doesn't actually physically get the money, does he?
He gets a little piece of paper. It's a star.
Where does he keep it?
I gave him a wallet.
Ah, smart. Yeah,
that's the way the world is.
Dude, so you know what? Well, one day he's going to walk into a store and he's going to want to pay with star dollars.
He's got 83 star dollars in dude, 4 weeks of kindergarten.
He is rolling in the dough, dude. Dude, if they only could pay your rent.
I wish I made that much money. I wish I made $83 in 4 weeks.
Wait, well, so what could he buy with star dollars? Give me the lowdown. Is it like gum?
From what I heard, it's kind of disappointing because last week they had the big, I guess last Friday was the big sell day or big buy day for star dollars, and they had ice cream, and then you could buy condiments or toppings for your ice cream. So you bought like sprinkles.
Wow,
seems
that's,
like
that's impressive.
Well, it seems like a big build up and then a big letdown.
Well, like I'm working kid, hard
for 4 weeks to get star dollars, and I'm like, oh, I can get sprinkles. That's
they must be teaching them how to be an artist.
Well, I think they're teaching them disappointment, which is what life is going to be. So they might as well get used to it.
So has he asked you like? Daddy, how come you're not paying with star dollars?
No, because he wants real. We actually did a little internet commercial thing with him last week for I signed a non-disclosure, but it's a diaper company.
Nice.
That rhymes with hubs. we got $300 for it.
Wow.
You know, and we had to tell potty training stories or whatever, and he started crying on set because he didn't like us telling bad stories about him in front of other people. He's like, I don't like this. Let's tell good stories about me. I'm like, you fucking prima donna.
You're like, you are such a diva.
So I had to show him, like, this is the check we got, $300. And he just, as soon as I showed him the check, stopped crying.
He was, really?
Yeah.
So he knows.
And then we had to divide it up three ways. $100 for me, $100 for my wife. He got $100. And I was like, oh, you got $100. Wait.
But he did all the work, right? Or is it both, like, you're
well,
both?
Well, we wouldn't have this opportunity if he didn't exist, because they only wanted parents. So I figured he deserved $100.
So you're teaching him early, you're like, seriously, if you do this, this is what you do. You get rewards. You get the bada bing, bada boom.
You're the worst.
That's three cash registers.
Your soundboard,
you
know, that's worst thing.
I'm giving you $100 with each fucking, you know, cha-ching.
Your soundboard.
Cha-ching.
God damn it. That's what I think of your soundboard.
You missed it, though. You missed it a little bit. You're like, what obnoxious soundbite is he using on the show tonight?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Not even a little bit?
No.
Well, Alex filled in for you. He was good. He was fun.
Yeah, I told me Alex. Alex told me.
I made him come early and learn how to run the show, and I texted him.
It takes 4 seconds.
I said,
with the brain of a goldfish to run the show.
He's like, no problem. He was cocky. I was like, good. I like
that. Did he screw it up?
No, he did great. He did great. It was awesome.
Excellent. Excellent.
Anyways, so it's been a crazy week. Did you have a good week last week? Did you?
We just talked about it, Mikhail.
Well, did you perform anywhere else other than Glendale?
No.
That's it. Any other performances?
I just had one spot last week. Got a couple of cut spots coming up, but
oh, that's fun. You got one on Monday. You just told me about
not showcasing for Last Comic Standing.
But yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, you know, that's what people want to see.
We'll see.
Why? So how does that work? Is it like
I'm doing audition? 3 whole minutes of comedy.
Well, but that's 3 minutes in the comedy world can be a lot, right? No, it's usually what, 5 or 10.
You can barely say your name in 3 minutes.
Why is that? Why is it only 3 minutes?
I don't. Apparently, that's how much is needed to judge you. I guess I don't know.
So you're gonna put all your best bits.
Know.
Crazy
I don't know.
Shit.
I've auditioned for 7 of the 9 seasons. So,
well, hopefully you'll be the last comic standing this year, right? That's what we're hoping.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping.
I just spilled water all over myself.
Sure.
Well, it looks like our guest just arrived. Hello, John DeCrosta.
Hello,
fellow stand-up comedian.
How are you?
I'm good.
Am I on?
You're on.
Oh, you're on, buddy. All right. You're on. So how are you?
I'm great.
Found the station okay?
Yes.
You were disappointed that we weren't in another location, but you know we're...
yeah,
are we closer
so
to you? You're like in North Hills
I'm in Calabasas,
right?
Woodland Hills.
That's right. His address is 54... No,
what?
That's nice. Calabasas, that's nice.
What?
Yeah, you must hate coming to L.A. then, right? Because it's...
Well, that would have been a trek, yeah.
Downtown L.A. Yeah.
Sucks. Yeah. Well, it's just like... traffic. There's not traffic in Calabasas.
I was talking to John before the show, before you got here, because Nikhil was late because he took a nap.
Wait a minute. I was technically on time. I got here at 7:50, but I should have been here like 7:40.
The guests beat you here.
But you know what was weird? I walked in, you both were spooning. It was kind of cool.
Things escalated rather quickly. Gross.
God damn.
So what were you saying? You said you both were talking
about how this show used to be based in downtown LA, and had I known that before the. I wouldn't have done this show because you told me when we first did the show, it was like a block from my house.
Well, because the old station used to be in Hollywood, and he lived right around the corner. We're going to be on this network. It's right around the corner.
I'm like, awesome. And then he's like, all right, we're going to do the first show. I'm like, all right. You want to drive? I'm like, no, I can walk. They're like, no, we got to drive downtown L.A. I'm like, oh, I totally would not have done this show.
Suckered him into it.
If I knew I had to go downtown L.A.
Well,
how many weeks did you do it down there?
We did it for a little over five months.
Really?
And then Eddie got a taste of the good life. He was a guest on one of the shows out here, and then we switched to this network, and it's so much better.
Just better.
Everything. Facilities. It's
much better.
It's just...
Water.
Yeah, water. Water. Nobody living at the station.
No BO.
Is there people down at the bottom?
Oh, man.
Walk over them.
There were people living in the station. We won't talk too much about it.
It's a whole thing.
That's a whole other episode.
So, John, what have you been up to? You been on the road? What have you been doing?
Road, auditioning like crazy. The ships have taken over my life.
Cruise ships?
Vegas, Atlantic City.
Nice.
South Florida.
South Florida? What cities in South Florida?
Sarasota, okay. Fort Lauderdale, Miami.
All right.
Yeah. Do you tag those up with the cruises? Or no?
Yeah, I try to. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way, but I like to, yeah.
You're always keeping busy. That's awesome. Do you book it all yourself? Like, are you doing a lot of stuff?
I do about 50% of it. I have four agents for cruises. I do all the, you know, the regular club stuff myself.
And so when you go on a cruise, you probably go for like a month or a couple weeks?
No. It depends. They're all different lengths. Okay. Like, they're usually 3-day, 4-day. Sometimes you'll do a 3-day and a 4-day and a 3-day and a 4-day together. So you're away for 14 days, 10 days, whatever. It's all different combinations. Like Thursday, I leave and I do 3 days back to and from Mexico.
Cool.
And then I'm home for a day, and then I fly to Alaska. I do four days in Alaska, and then I go to Hawaii at the beginning of the next cruise, and then I fly home.
That's amazing.
So it's all different combinations.
And how many shows do you do a day?
We do 5 shows per group of passengers.
Wow. That's great.
So we'll do 5, 10, 15, 20 shows, you know, Jesus, that kind of thing. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
But they're 30 minutes long, and it's a great gig, man.
It's fun.
It really is.
It's like you're on vacation. Gig.
I was in Europe for 43 days last year.
That's amazing.
You know, and I would have never been able to do that on my own, or even thought of going to Brussels, or to Russia, or to Monte Carlo.
And you always travel by yourself when you do. Or are they cool with
with bringing a guest? I just haven't gotten around to doing that yet. But friends.
Work trips are so different. It's not as much fun.
Family don't get it, man.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
you know, my wife and I were talking about that just this morning. It's just like, you know, I do Vegas probably about every 2 to 3 months. And, you know, when we're getting ready for a show, I don't give a shit how you look in those pants. I give a shit how I look in my blouse.
I'm the one everyone's looking at.
Nobody's looking at you.
It's all about me.
Yeah. So I don't like to worry about that shit.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
I like to get in my head. Granted, I've been doing this for a long, long time. But still to this day, you need that hour and a half to just get in your head.
Yeah.
Shave, you know, get your hair ready, iron your clothes.
Primp and
think
preen.
Of what
Eddie
you
doesn't do.
Do
that. He just rolls out of bed and goes.
I try to look as unprofessional. I've taken my family on the road, wife and kid, a couple times.
I've done it before.
And it's a lot of like, all right, I just got to walk out of the hotel room now for a little bit.
Yes.
I need a little bit of quiet before I go.
Yeah, that's I don't think
it's kind of hectic.
And plus the cost as a comic, you know, you're in your case, you're tripling. In my case, I had two boys. I was quadrupling the expense.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when we're on the road, we try to keep our expenses at the minimum. But when they, you know, do you think I could come this time?
Yeah, you're basically working to pay for your trip now.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
Come home with half
your money. It's not a vacation.
No.
Right. But it's also, like, it's not really a vacation. You're not, like, you know, you don't have that much free time. I mean, you have some, but it's like whenever I have a gig, doesn't matter if it's out of town, it's always like, okay, everything revolves around that gig. So yeah, can't go too far.
A musician is a little different than, like you said earlier.
Right.
There's not much prep time.
Right.
So
right.
We do have a lot of time.
Oh, well then, dude, take your family
Fuck
everywhere.
That.
They're probably listening like, I can't wait to go to Brussels. Next time. What about Europe, though? That's a big one.
That was amazing. That was an amazing thing. I was born and raised in Italy, so I got to reunite with some cousins that I had not seen since I was...
Where were you born in Italy?
I was born in Aviano, which is north of Venice, by Austria. And I lived in Rome for 6 years and Naples for 4 or so. And my family is from Naples. And I got to see a cousin of mine that I hadn't seen since I was 10 years old.
That's amazing.
And we spent an entire day. I went and saw where my dad went to college, where my grandmother grew up, and the little tiny village that I used to run through.
That's amazing.
As a boy. You know, every other weekend we'd go see my dad's relatives in his hometown where he grew up. And it was the first time back since I was 10.
Wow.
So you're first generation American?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I lived in Italy for a little bit.
You did?
Yeah, I lived in Florence. That's in Firenze. Firenze. I lived in Graz, Austria, studying music, and then I lived in Florence for a bit. So Italy is like my favorite European country.
I've been to Maggiano's.
Maggiano's.
That's about as close as
I respect you. I respect you a little because you didn't say Olive Garden.
Yes, oh, no. Yes. No, Maggiano's.
Yeah.
Come on.
There's two G's in
it. I know Italian. Maggiano's.
That's amazing. So tell me what got you into comedy. Tell me you've been doing this, like you said, for a while.
I started as a ventriloquist. This is my first night on stage. The picture on the inside of my CD.
That's
like 11 or 12.
And I see you still have the same haircut.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I didn't for years.
I'm a show and tell. Show and tell for Eddie. Can you see the picture?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Which one are you?
That's actually pretty good. So you start. How did you get into that as a kid?
I was petrified of them. There was a show on TV called the Winchell Mahoney Show. Paul Winchell, who was a ventriloquist, he used to have these puppets. But unlike a lot of ventriloquist puppets, he had two puppeteers that actually put their hands through the puppet's sleeves so they had actual hands, which was creepy.
Wow,
that is super creepy.
I mean, people
super
are creeped out by clowns.
The Swedish Chef creeped me out on the Muppets because they had real hands.
That's exactly the feel you got at. But you got a wooden head, not even a foam latex head that you can, position it. It was a wooden head with real hands.
So it was one guy doing right hand, one guy doing left hand?
Correct.
That's even weirder.
Correct.
Three brains running one little Muppet. Yeah. Muppet thing.
Muppet puppet.
And I was petrified of it. So I just started getting interested in the craft, and I got my first little puppet and little instruction book.
Well, how do you learn?
You're really
how to
good because you can't, the people listening at home can't. He's not even moving his lips right now.
Yeah.
I was just about to ask, like, how do you just so stand good. In front of a mirror and just like pretend like you're not talking?
Not
you're really bad at it.
How am I doing? How am I doing?
I wasn't a gangster. What was that? Here, you're standing on the corner of your mouth like that.
Look it up, see?
Yeah, see?
Oh, now you've ruined it. You just ruined it.
I would be, I'm available for sound bites for your act if you ever need it. So no, really. So how do you practice? I've actually never known anybody that's a ventriloquist other than yourself. So this is fascinating.
The easiest way is to put a pencil in your mouth.
Huh.
Lengthwise.
Right.
Jam it down your throat.
Yeah, jam it down.
And kill yourself.
Horizontally. And then do it that way. And then once you graduate with, when you can do it without the pencil, then you just, close your teeth into a nice, comfortable position. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, N, N, O, T.
Wow, that's impressive. Wow. And also a little creepy.
And my hands move.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And why do you have your hand up, Eddie's woohoo?
Oh, did I ask him to do that
sound
before the show started?
Sweet. So how long did you practice doing it? And I mean, I know you have to to do it like effectively, you really have to sit there and just be diligent about doing it, right?
I practiced for maybe 3 or 4 months, and then I got in that talent show right there and won.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It was pretty amazing.
So you're like, this is what I want to do.
It was pretty amazing. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I did that for children's parties from maybe from when I was 11 to about 17, 18.
You were doing children's parties at 11 years old?
Yes, I was. My dad printed me up a little business card.
That's awesome.
Two comics for the price of one. That was my catchphrase.
How long was your show back then at the children's party?
I did about 20, 25. Yeah. About a half hour, maybe.
Yeah.
If I was killing.
Do you still have this doll that's here?
Yes, really? All of them, yeah.
What's his name? Does he have a name?
That's Mortimer. That's a reproduction of an Edgar Bergen puppet.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, killing.
Yeah, and then 17, 18, I started stand-up.
What made you go into stand-up?
It was becoming huge. It was the beginning of the 80s, and there was a club on almost every... Mm-hmm. I grew up in New York,
right.
And my first inspirations were Robin Williams and Steve Martin, the crazier
right.
side of comedy, you know, a lot of visual stuff. And
did you ever get a chance to meet them? Or
I worked with Robin for about 3 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And never had the pleasure of meeting Steve Martin.
But wow.
I'd love to. But...
It's a great era.
My very first concert... was Steve Martin.
Dude, he's the shit.
The Let's Get Small tour.
Wow.
I still have
you were on. You saw the Let's Get Small.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was like one of my first comedy CD or
that was my
records
that,
I bought.
That was my first concert.
Wow.
That was like 79, 80.
That was when he was like the
He top was the wild and crazy guy, white suit, arrow through the head, juggling cats.
Wow.
Yeah. In fact, he has a great book that's out now. I'm sure you have read it,
up?
Eddie.
Standing up.
It's the latest one, yeah. I think about his stand up.
Yeah, that was about, what was that, about 4 years ago, maybe?
I don't think that long, but it's definitely under that.
It's called Steve Martin Standing Up or something like that.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
I've
heard about it.
So much of that I could relate to because I saw him do it.
Yeah.
You know, I watched that tour.
Wow.
He didn't tour much, he wasn't on the road much at all.
And he did the same. Yes, show for a decade.
Yes.
I remember him saying something in the book. I read like excerpts and he said that, you know, he would be at the comedy clubs every night and then if he'd take like 1 or 2 days off, he would feel the actual like timing to be a little off like
that happens.
From night to night, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just crazy. So that's amazing. So you got to see Steve Martin, you worked with Robin Williams. What was that like?
Well, that was a real brief thing. I was in upstate New York and I was doing stand up.
You're doing a lot of coke.
Yeah. I was doing stand up for Joey's dad.
Oh, awesome.
That's where I started. And heard through the grapevine that there was an improv troupe working in downtown Albany. And I knew that he was friends with a couple of the improv actors that were in the troupe. And I took a stab that he was going to show up. I went, and I knew...
So you'd heard of him at that point?
Of who?
Robin Williams.
Oh, God, yeah.
Was
he was on
after
Mork.
Mork? Okay.
He was on Mork at
so
the time.
So this is not when he was at Juilliard and doing...
No. Right. He was on Mork at this time. And he was doing stand-up. In fact, not too long after that, I saw Billy Crystal live. But anyway...
Wow.
So I showed up down at this gig, and I think the name of the troupe was called the First Amendment, if I'm not mistaken. I showed up, they brought me up to do an improv exercise, wow. Robin showed up, jumped on stage, bam.
That's amazing.
It just happened that quickly and easily.
Wow.
And for about less than 5 or 6 minutes, I was on stage.
That's incredible, honestly.
Yeah, I took it hard when he passed. Real hard. For about 3 days, I was...
It was pretty dark.
It was so hard.
Just a weird feeling.
It was a weird situation and circumstance, and he was definitely one of the geniuses of comedy, you know?
Yeah.
But, dude, how many people ever get the chance to work with them? I mean, that's...
Well, you know...
It's amazing.
A lot of people have. I would have loved to have said, you know, I did another podcast recently with a guy named Ron Kenny. And he was with Robin in the early days of the Comedy Store, and just the stories that guy had as far as how everybody spotted the magic, you know, behind that man so early on.
Right.
They all just said, you can't touch what this fucking guy's doing.
Yeah, just could you imagine, like, trying to follow him? I mean, how insane that would have been in the
early
days of the Comedy Store. Like, okay, he's going up.
And in fact, he said that several times that happened, that he would just waltz in and, you know... That happened to me.
Well, Mitzi, he was like the one comic Mitzi never I had the stand rule, never give him the light.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Really?
Like, don't ever give him the light. He goes as long as he wants to go.
Why?
And he'd get off, and he would get off and go, "Why? Well, I never saw the light. I run light. I'm sorry. And like, no, Mitzi said don't get the light. And then he would feel bad, like, oh, I didn't mean to, you know, because he knew comics were coming behind him and stuff.
Right.
But he always, Mitzi always had the standing rule, like, never give him the light. And why would you? Yeah. I mean,
yeah. Right. Because he's, you know, just,
let him go until he's done.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's incredible.
But when you're the next guy, it's tough.
When you're the next guy, you're like, I'll do my set tomorrow.
Yeah. That happened to me at the Comedy Store in the main room. I won't mention any names, but they said, yeah, he just wants to do 7 to 10. And I'm like, he is not doing 7 to 10. He's been known to do 40 to 50. No, he said he had to go somewhere.
No.
He's going to do 40 to 50.
3 hours later.
And literally almost about an hour later.
Wow. And then you have to follow that.
It's the worst.
It's like, it's the
worst. There's a couple out there that do
that. Yeah, there's more than that.
So you said you met Billy Crystal, and then you...
No, I didn't meet him. I saw him live. Do a stand-up.
So were these guys like some of the bigger influences on you?
Yeah, you know, I grew up... I'm older than you guys. I grew up in the time of those variety shows, like the Carol Burnetts and the Sonny and Cher and the Flip Wilson and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
That was my first inspiration for comedy. Now, when I grew up, my parents had 4 8-track tapes in the car. Bill Cosby, Don Rickles, the Smothers Brothers, which I've worked with before many times.
Awesome.
Almost about 5-6 times now.
Don Rickles is amazing, too.
Yeah.
He's one of the cats.
And Lynn Anderson.
Hmm.
Do you know who that is?
No. Do you know Lynn Anderson?
She's a country singer.
Okay.
Those were the 4 8-tracks. The only 4 8-tracks my parents had in for life.
That's awesome.
So that was, you know, I kind of heard it in the car a lot as a kid. But then when I moved to the States, I started watching those variety shows, man. And the Dean Martin roasts.
Oh, man. Those were great. I've only seen them on YouTube or seen them on, like, infomercials.
The Comedy Central is...
No, it's not even... same sport.
That's because everybody was just wasted.
Thank you. It's apples and oranges, man.
Right,
it's
right.
Because those guys knew each other, and they were friends, and it's like watching buddies rip on each other. That's hilarious. Yeah. Watching strangers tell written jokes that were written by somebody else.
Yeah,
like, it's not
terrible.
It was also like there was a little bit more
blasphemy
openness to, like, the racial jokes. There was a lot of racial jokes that were actually really like, oh, my God, I can't believe you said that on TV.
But they were buddies, and they were just ragging on each other. It's like you got to peek in behind the closed door. That's what that was.
It was special.
Comics at the Roast now it's bullshit.
It's not the same.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
So you were saying?
So that was my... And then I started watching the Carol Burnett show was probably huge influence to me for comedy.
Tim Conway was one of my
Conway
huge...
Tim Conway and Harvey. And one of my first jobs in Hollywood, Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher, I did an audience warm-up.
Oh, yeah.
In fact,
I came to that.
Yeah.
He actually, you know, Joe and I went to that, and you put us right behind, like, some of the guests. So we had to be real still because the cameras were on us all the time. So I was like, Joe, I didn't sign up for this. This is crazy.
Joe probably put that as a credit on his IMDb.
He probably did. Yes, I remember that. So go on, what were you saying?
Yeah, so... one night, they filmed a reunion show downstairs in the Price is Right stage, which is now Drew Carey.
He's no bubble.
It's called... it was called Showstoppers, I think it was called.
Hmm.
And what it was the four of them, Vicki Lawrence, Tim Conway, Harvey, and Carol Burnett, reminiscing about the old show. They showed a lot of outtakes, and they showed a lot of the musical numbers. And I got to sit behind the front camera, my buddy Jimmy, and I got to meet Carol and Harvey and Tim. I didn't
That's
get
amazing.
To meet Vicky. Met them that night.
I used to stay home. I used to fake being sick so I could stay home from school and watch the reruns were during the day when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And that's the only time you could see the Carol Burnett shows during the day in the reruns. And I would fake being sick just so I could stay home and watch Carol Burnett show.
That's funny.
I love Tim Conway. Like, he's like...
The best.
He's a legend. That's crazy. Well, let's get to some of your bits on here. Let's play some stuff. What do you want to start with?
Mm.
We got a CD here. It's called Multiple Character Disorder. I love it.
Is it available on iTunes? Can people get it on iTunes?
Yes, you can get it on iTunes or live after my show. I sell them. But you can get it at iTunes for $9.99 or my record label, uproarentertainment.com. You can order it through there. Amazon sells it. I think Target. I think Barnes & Noble.
Truck stops throughout the Northwest. Truck stops.
No.
The website here is uproarcomedycd.com. Is that the same?
Yeah, yeah. You can get it there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool, cool, cool. Absolutely. Cool. Well, let's play. This is one of my favorite bits. Let's play Zamfir first.
Zamfir?
This is called Zamfir.
Can you set up for this or just play it and we'll talk
about it? Basically, long story short, I toured with a guy named Zamfir and his. Don't laugh.
I'm sorry.
And his moniker is Master of the Pan Flute. And I was touring with him for a short period of time in the Midwest, I always thought that was pretty funny because he's the only fucking guy that plays the pan flute.
So obviously he's the master.
But of course, if you're going to corner the market on
that's got to be flowers. A very lonely musician job. You know? It's like, that's not a job. That's a passion project because you're not getting
laid. Well, it's probably like being a Sith Lord. There's a master and apprentice and that's it. There's only two people.
Wow. You know. Comparing Zamfir to a Sith Lord.
I'm just saying, there's a master and an apprentice.
That's it.
There's probably
not
much more people going for the pan flute than those two guys.
There's no gray area.
There's the master and teaching the one guy who's interested.
He got some major work with the Karate Kid, and it's all been downhill after that. All
right, so here it is, Zamfir.
You guys are cool, man. I'm not used to working in a sold-out arena like this. I usually work with musicians. I was just on tour with Weird Al Yankovic for like 8 weeks. I was kind of a goofball. He's not the weirdest guy I ever toured with. Weirdest guy I ever toured with? I was on the road for 3 weeks with Zamfir, Master of the Pan Flute. Do you know who he is? He's the master of the pan flute. Do you know why he's the master of the pan flute? No. Nobody else plays the fucking pan flute. Do you think that was his chosen profession? Pan flautist. I think it was like the last shitty instrument left at the assembly. When he was a little kid, his music teacher's handing out all the crap because all the good stuff's gone. He's like, okay, kids, the tambourine is gone. The triangle, taken? What's another shitty instrument? Like, who said kazoo? Kazoo? You had a kazoo in your band? That was a special school. The kazoo! Kazoo's been stolen. Someone stole the kazoo. There goes the big kazoo solo. Imagine that.
It's very good. It's very good. It's very good on the kazoo.
But we do have the pan flute. Anyone? Come on, we have to start the show.
Little Zamfir, he's hiding underneath the bleachers.
Not the pan flute, not the pan flute, not the pan flute, not the pan flute.
Zamfir, I see you. It's the pan flute for you today.
But I don't want to play the pan flute.
That is the gayest voice ever.
I don't like to play. I don't like to play the pan flute. Always make me play the fucking pan flute. Don't you have a kazoo or something?
No kazoo. The kazoo has been stolen. I think it was that little Kenny G. So Zamf and I, I call him Zamf now. Because we're like this. I'm usually on top. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Oh, I sleep with two guys and I'm gay. So you gotta think. No, I'm not gay. If I was gay, I'd be doing this a lot. You know why? You know, homosexuals do this a lot. You know why they do this a lot? There's usually not enough room to do this. That's a true story. That's a true story. They're usually in a closet. Yeah, that's a true story. They're I know I got problems.
Very nice. Very nice indeed. Man, we were giggling like little schoolgirls over here.
Not that bad, flute.
Now, I know you do a lot of voices. Like, I know you... Let's talk about that. You've done a lot of voiceover work. Mm-hmm. You did some films. I know you did. You were one of the robots in Transformers.
I was a bunch of the robots in Transformers 2, Revenge of the Fallen.
That's awesome. Which ones?
My main character is the Doctor.
Okay.
If you're familiar with the movie,
did you see the film?
Yep. I have two big scenes as the Doctor. The first scene is I'm underwater and I resurrect Megatron, and I'm a little silver spider.
Do you remember what your sound was or what you?
Yes, I come out of the chest of a tiger transformer, and I command two larger transformers, and I say, "Kill the little one," and they tear him apart. I go, "Need parts," and we disassemble him, and I go. I take a shard and I plunge it into Megatron's chest, and he resurrects and flies out of the water. Then the next scene is me on top of Shia LaBeouf, whatever. I transform from a microscope. Megatron is holding Shia down, and it's a little silver spider jumps on top of Shia LaBeouf, and I try to cut his head open.
Oh, yeah.
If only you could have.
I must have the brain on the table.
Only you could have.
And then when I was done with that, I worked on that for 2 days. When I was done with that, the coolest thing, you know, you dream of shit like this, but at the end of the session, I just didn't want it to be over. Because it was just me, a sound guy, and Michael Bay.
Wow.
It was pretty intense. And at the end of the session, Michael Bay says, well, I guess are we all done with the Doctor? And sound guy goes, yeah, that's a wrap on the Doctor. I'm like, I was kind of a, like, I didn't want it to be over. Wow. And the sound guy hands Michael something. He goes, so-and-so wanted me to give you this. And Michael looks at it. It's a little post-it note with some scratch on it. He goes, you want to do some more robots? I'm like, yeah.
Hmm.
So he shows me a scene, and he goes, I need a voice for him, 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 and him. And there's a scene where Shia takes his sweatshirt from the first movie, and he holds it out. He's talking to Megan Fox on the phone, and the shard drops into the kitchen, and the blender, and the wall clock, and the microwave. They all transform and chase him through the house. It's all me.
That's amazing.
All those voices.
That's awesome.
How was working with Michael Bay? That must have been
incredible. I had a blast. I know he's got a weird rap with on-camera people, but I had an absolute blast. That's a dream come true.
Yeah.
That was a thrill.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing.
Really great.
So how did you get into doing voices? You were just like...
When I was in New York, somebody saw me do stand-up and doing little voices, very similar to like this Zamfir thing.
Right.
And she approached me. She was an ad executive, and she came up to me and said, would you ever consider doing... radio commercials? And I'm like, that's my dream, is to move out to LA and do cartoons. And she says, I need a little voice for a teddy bear in a furniture store commercial. So I said, okay. And so we got in the studio and played around with different voices and tweaked it. And I ended up doing so much work for that girl. I was the voice of Peter Harris. I came up with like this Ed Wynn type of voice. Remember Ed Wynn? He was in Mary Poppins. I think he was Mary Poppins' uncle, and he kind of talked like this.
I love Mary Poppins.
And awesome. So I was the voice of Peter Harris clothes back in New York for the longest time, for like 5-6 years. It was the this week at Peter Harris, the prices are insane. You know, that kind of shit. And I was the voice of the teddy bear for this furniture store for a year or two. And then it just sprung from there. And then I just, I did a lot of local work. I did Green Mountain Coffee. I did a couple of local leather ads. And then enough to get a demo reel together.
Right.
And then I started coming out here with my little demo cassette and started fishing for agents.
So give me I'm going to just throw you under the spot for a second. Give me like 4 or 5 different voices, just to give like a range of like some of the voices that you were doing.
Back then?
Yeah, or now, whatever. Doesn't
matter. That would be Ed Wynn, and then You know, my biggest thing is I've never been one to, like, imitate celebrities. Like, right, that's an impressionist.
Right.
I just do people I meet.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. And then I take characteristics from them and apply them to my the voices. Like, I did a film for National Geographic. I did, like, 13 different voices for dinosaurs.
That's awesome.
And it's funny because sometimes as a voice actor, you'll tweak it.
Right.
And they'll say, you know, if we could have it just a little bit. I did the voice for a racing car for China's version of WD-40. Hmm. There was three cars in the ad. There was a VW bug, a Beetle. There was a old broken down jalopy, and then there was the speed, the racer, the Mustang type of car. He was the good looking dude. That was me, typecasting.
Of course.
And and it literally was like lost in translation. Basically, the scene was this: it was animation, and these three cars are driving through the desert, and we come upon a billboard for their product, and what it is a big hand depressing the nozzle on a spray can of this product, like their product of WD-40. I forget the product. And what it is the spray from that giant billboard bottle. We like are shown showering underneath it because we're all grimy from the drive in the desert. And so it was like a scene out of Lost in Translation. There was about 14 people from China sitting, you know, on the other side of the glass. And there was one of them, the female that was directing us, could speak English. And so I was behind the mic and I was going, I forget what the line was, but wow, this really feels good. And look at my wheels, they're so shiny. And then you would see them talk to each other. And then she would pot the mic up and she would go, Do you think
you could be more sexy?
And I go, yeah, I could give you more sexy.
Okay, maybe more sexy.
Okay, so you want the whole line more sexy?
Yes, more sexy. You look like a man.
So I would go, wow, this really feels great. And look at my wheels, they're so shiny. She goes, oh, that's perfect. I didn't change a fucking thing.
People don't know.
I changed nothing.
That's glad that those suits are the same no matter what country they're from.
That's very true. That's amazing. I'm going to have let's play another song from your, another song, another track. I guess that's what you call them, right? Call it as it is. Bits. That's what I was looking for.
Skits. Yeah,
I need you here.
Skits. Little skits.
This is track 11, little Coffee skits. Time.
Track 11, Coffee Time. Here
just
we go.
John DeCrosta.
This is...
You ever go to Starbucks like 9 in the morning or late for work? Wake up. So I play with a girl. She's like, hi, welcome to Starbucks. Can I take it? I'm like, yeah, I'll take a triple tall latte.
Okay, and your name?
Thor. She's like,
are you serious?
I'm like, yeah, I'm
serious.
It's Thor! God of Thunder! Put the whole name on the cup, please.
She's like, what? Ever!
The other girl's like,
we have a triple tall latte here for Thor? Thor? Thor, God of Thunder.
Yeah, that's mine. I want to make sure there wasn't two Thors here today.
Very good. My stuff, the way I write, I've never been able to sit down with a legal pad like a lot of these guys.
Yeah,
like
the same
when you're
way.
On the road and they're like, yeah, I'm going to just stay in and write.
I write on stage.
That's how I do it too, Eddie. And or in the shower. Or
yeah. That's like what the true gift of
driving
is.
Like that pops into your head. You're like,
absolutely. That's how all my stuff. And then I grab the nearest piece of paper. I got more stuff on Bev napkins and hankies.
I got like the hotel notepads.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
Are on
oh, I got a
nightstand.
Yeah. That bit was born. Everything that I do on stage is from personal experience.
That's awesome.
This particular bit. Do you know Mark Eddy?
Yeah, I know Mark.
Mark Eddy and I were driving down to Irvine to do the improv. And we, you know, with traffic on the 405, it was, you know, you always want to get down there and beat the traffic. So we get down there early, and we've decided to go to Starbucks. We go into the Starbucks, and it's pretty dead. There was probably about three or four people there. And we had about an hour to kill, maybe. And we're both feeling... You know how you get that in-between punchiness? Like, you sound hyper from coffee, but you haven't had any coffee. You're hyper because you're just so exhausted. You're silly. I go up to the counter, and the lady goes... The girl says, literally, she goes, and your name? And I was like... At that time, I was so fucking tired of hearing that. Because whenever I say John, 10 guys say, yeah, that's mine. So I was always trying to come up with something unique. So when she said that, it just was like one too many times that week. And I said, it's Thor. And she looked up, and she goes, is that really your name? And I go, yes. She goes... I swear, she looks at me, and she goes... Like the God of Thunder. I go, yeah, it's like the God of Thunder. She goes, whatever. And I go, do you think you could put the whole name on the cup? She says, you want me to put Thor, God of Thunder, on the cup? And I go, yeah. So she puts the whole thing on the cup. Mark Eddy thought it was the funniest shit he's ever seen. He goes up to the counter and he orders his drink. She goes, and what's your name? And Mark Eddy goes, Jojo the Hair-Lip Dog. So when they make the drinks, she goes, the second girl goes, okay, we have lattes here for Thor, God of Thunder, and Jojo the Hair-Lip Dog. The whole That's room classic. Started laughing. And as we're exiting, there's a girl. She went up to the counter and ordered her drink. And we could kind of hear into the distance. She goes, what's your name? And she goes, Wonder Woman. And it was like, and scene. And we left the room. So awesome. All my shit is born out of stuff like
but that's
that.
But that's what makes it real, and that's what makes it funny.
That's the best comedy.
It connects. Yes, yes. Let's play another bit here. This is it's noonish donut time.
All right.
Here's one you guys can try. Go into any Dunkin' Donuts in the country. Go up to the counter. Go into any Dunkin' Donuts. Go up to the counter. If the chocolate donuts are on the shelf in the lower left-hand side, go up to the counter, point to the upper right. How you doing? Six of the chocolate donuts? Chocolate? Hmm? The chocolate. Six of the chocolate. For hours, the kid's going, all right, this chocolate. This chocolate. Chocolate. Are you saying chocolate? What the fuck you pointing? Flavor blind? I don't see. Did you want the brown chocolate? Did you want the brown one? Did you want the brown kinds of chocolate? Did you want sprinkles on it? Did you want sprinkles? You damn it! Then the owner of Dunkin' Donuts comes out all pissed off. Billy, what's in the bigger problem? I thought that was only in my neighborhood. They get around on those carpets. I think what we should do. Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. I have a disease. We should all do that tomorrow. Let's all find one and meet there. I'll meet there. We'll meet Noonish. That's the owner's name, Noonish. Hello, I'm Noonish. Welcome. What can I get for you? Goofy? Do you want Goofy? Do you want Goofy? Do you want Goofy? Goofy? Do you want Goofy? Do you want Goofy? Do you want Goofy? I don't know what you're saying, man. Are you calling me Goofy? I don't know what you're saying.
Goofy, 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 Goofy.
Coffee. Coffee? Take a small coffee. No small. Medium large. Medium large Goofy. No small Goofy. Medium large. No small. Medium large Goofy. No small Goofy. All right. I'll take a medium large coffee. No. Medium or large. Son of bitch. I'm sorry, I have a disease. I will have a midgem. A midgem Goofy. Okay. Now you speak my language. Do you want cream? 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 I don't know what you're saying, man. Cream, 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 cream. It's either creamy or starting a moped. I don't know what the hell you're doing. If it's cream, I'll take two cream. Okay. You want sugar? 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 Do you want sugar? 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 I didn't even know that could do that. Do you want sugar? Sugar? It's pretty good. I'm the master. Do you want sugar in the coffee? Sugar in the coffee? Sugar in the coffee? Do you want a jai ho? Do you want? I got your Slumdog right here. Do you want a sugar in the coffee? I think you're saying sugar in the coffee, and I'll take one. Okay. Do you want here to go? Here to go? Here to go? You have time to drink here? I'm gonna go. Do you want a lead? Do you want a lead? Lead? Do you want a lead? A lead? Okay. You want one midget coffee, two cream, one chocolate for the go with the lead? Okay, hold on. With the lead! No, don't pay me, you pay my brother. He's at the register. His name's Cashier. Cashier. Yes, crazy. Just worked out. It's with a K. K-A-Shear. I before E, except after Kosh. Cashier. Who's that with a broom? That's my son. That's my boy. That's Brian. My son Brian.
Dude, that was awesome. I gotta give you a real compliment. Not many white people can do a solid Indian guy. And this is coming from an Indian guy. And I like it very much. It's very good. It's very good. Very, very nice. Very, very nice.
Well, where are you going to be? Anywhere we can tell people?
I got a cruise all the way to the 24th. And then I think the 26th or 27th, whatever that Monday is. I'll be at the Riviera Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas.
You got a website people can check out your tour dates?
JohnDeCrosta.com.
JohnDeCrosta.com.
I'm on the Facebook.
Spell it out, too.
JohnDiCrosta. I'm on the Facebook, on the Twitter, Instagram, JohnnyD163. I Instagram more than a 12-year-old girl.
Like appropriate.
John, dude, it's been such a pleasure to have you. Dude,
thanks,
you
guys.
Just, thank you very much for coming, man, with your jokes, man. It was awesome. So awesome.
All right. That's Nikhil, I'm Eddie. Have a good night, everybody.
One more rooster for you. One more cock-a-doo.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence. Right here on LA Talk Radio.